Today we're going to begin a series of with all that's being said today about the second coming of Christ and the rapture, the thousand-year kingdom, and the establishment of Israel as a nation once again, we need to consider what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ and the events that will occur at that time. This lesson is going to be presented this morning and this evening, and then we're going to follow it by a series of lessons that discuss more thoroughly the above topics of premillennialism. First of all, what we want to do is we want to look at what the Scriptures plainly say about the second coming of Christ. In this series of lessons, we're going to be talking about a lot of figurative language. And whenever you look at figurative language in the Bible and you try to interpret it, you have to interpret it in light of what the Bible plainly says. In other words, the figurative language cannot contradict the very plain language of the Scripture. So this morning and tonight, we're going to be a two-part lesson today. But we're going to answer the questions of, number one, how do we know that Jesus is coming again? The second question we're going to answer is, how will he come again? And then we're going to talk about, when is he coming again, and what will take place when he comes again, and why does he wait? Why has it been 2,000 years since Jesus originally came to this earth, and he has not come back yet? So let's answer the first question. How do we know he is coming again? Well, first of all, Jesus said so. In John chapter 14, in the first four verses, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." So Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, now not speaking of where he was right then, but that where he was going to go away to, there, he said, you may be also. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, as Luke records in Acts chapter 1, we read in verse 9, the disciples are watching him being taken up. Now, when he had spoken these things, had given them instruction concerning what they were to do and waiting in Jerusalem and waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. So when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So the angels proclaimed to the chosen disciples that Jesus was going to come back again. The same way in which he went away, he's going to come back again. The inspired apostles and the prophets of the New Testament wrote about this, and they also asserted that Jesus is going to come again. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, the apostle Paul wrote, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." In verse 10, "When he comes in that day, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." So the apostle Paul affirmed to these disciples or this church in Thessalonica that the Lord is going to be revealed from heaven. He's going to come back again. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, the apostle Peter, referring to those who were questioning whether or not he would come back again, he said, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.' And then in verse 10, he wrote, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So the Apostle Peter, affirming that even though there's going to be people questioning about whether or not Jesus is coming again, the day of the Lord will come, and it's going to come as a thief in the night. The proof of the second coming of Jesus Christ is in the fact that Jesus raised from the dead to begin with. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read a rather lengthy reading here, verses 12 through 23. Paul wrote, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he both raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not raise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming." So Paul here, and at this time, evidently, when you read 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we understand that there were a lot of Christians in those days that were questioning whether or not we would be raised from the dead. And Paul, in both of those passages here in 1 Corinthians 15 and in 1 Thessalonians 4, refutes the idea that we would not be raised from the dead. And the proof of that he gives here in 1 Corinthians 15 is that we're preaching Christ raised from the dead. How can we preach Christ raised from the dead and then turn around and say there is no resurrection? He says, but Christ is raised from the dead. And as a result of that, when he comes again, we will be raised again. So he wrote that the proof of our resurrection is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we will be raised when he comes again. So we ask the question now, how will he come? We've established that Jesus taught that he would come again. The angels told the disciples Jesus would come again. And then the inspired apostles in their writing said he will come again. Well, how will he come again? Well, as we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, the angels told the disciples, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." He's going to come again as he went away. It's going to be an obvious event. It's not going to be a great secret. It's not going to be that people are saying, "Wow, what happened here? Some people disappeared from the earth." No, he's going to come back as he went. Revelation 1 and verse 7. "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." How is it that even those who pierced him will see him? Because they're going to be raised from the dead. Every eye will see Jesus when he comes again. And it's not going to be a silent thing. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." It's not going to be a secret thing. Everyone is going to see him, and they're going to hear this shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, And then the first to be raised will be the dead. In Jude verse 14, Jude wrote, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." So Jude affirms that the Lord is going to come back. He's going to come back with his saints and with his angels. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, Jesus taught, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory." So it's going to be an obvious thing. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to have his angels with him, and it's going to be a sudden thing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the first three verses, Paul wrote, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." Now this is an important statement here. And we're going to look at the importance of it as we go through this series of study. But the Apostle Paul here says that people are going to be saying peace and safety. And everything's going to be normal in life. But the Lord will come suddenly as a thief in the night, and sudden destruction will come upon those that are not believers in Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, he's going to come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. So he's going to come suddenly, and it's going to be such a sudden event. We're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So we're promised by Jesus. We're promised by the angels and by the inspired prophets that Jesus will come again. And he's going to come in such a way that we will all know it, and it will be suddenly in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then tonight we're going to answer the final three questions. But the question that we want to answer right now is, or we want to ask right now is, are you ready for the day of his coming? Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? He is coming again. He said so. The angel said so. The inspired prophet said so. And it's going to come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when people are not expecting it. It's going to be just a normal kind of time when men are saying peace and safety.